You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And apparently I've worn my reading glasses all day, but that's okay because I've got not one, not two, but three guests for you today. We've got Matthew, Stephanie, and John from Heart and Home KC to talk a little bit about Kansas City, their real estate team, their careers. Frankly, they're just delightful. So enjoy this conversation and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, everyone. Look at your nice little Instagram background. Look at you making Better Homes and Gardens look good.
We do try.
Are y'all in my girl's office?
Who's your girl's office?
Christian. Yeah, we're at corporate today. Yeah, she's great.
You know, she's like my sister favorite person, right?
I didn't.
You mean that means when I came in as in training for the office, y'all didn't show up on it?
Oh, I was online, yes.
Yeah, I remember your energy and your voice.
I was like, that's dead. Christian's going to crack up when she sees this. Now, I have a very important question to ask. Who's in Wyandotte County?
I do. I actually have someone under contract in Wyandotte right now.
Central cover Johnson, Jackson, Wyandotte, Clay, and Platt.
We all work it all.
So listen, I have some red lace Wyandottes in my backyard. So is that where my chickens came from?
Probably.
Okay. Chicken.
It is allowed in.
There are a lot of chickens in Wyandotte.
It's very true. Yeah.
Actually, I had one of my tenants walk out his door and there were 15 chickens pecking around his backyard. And he's like, whose chickens are these?
And then you said amateurs, 15 chickens.
Yeah, I was in Wyandotte yesterday to pick up a closing gift and walked out and heard chickens when I was walking to my car.
Okay, well, you know, I feel like we're connected now through the chicken community. Well, tell me a little bit about yourselves. Obviously, we've given away the story that you're in the Kansas flyover country flat part.
Well, yes, but we actually work the Missouri side a little more than we do the Kansas side. We all three live on the Kansas City, Missouri side, and our office used to be on the plaza. And we just recently, in the last year, have moved to Prairie Village right on the state line. So we are licensed in both states, but we're closer to home if we can, which is on the Missouri side.
So when you say your office is on the state line, as in it's on it or it's on the Missouri side? I mean, like, can you like jump back and forth from Kansas to Missouri?
Yeah, you literally walk across the street and you're on the Missouri side.
Our office is in Kansas and you walk across the street and you're in Missouri, yes.
So which one's cheaper for property taxes? What's the big difference between Kansas and Missouri?
They're actually pretty similar for property taxes. It's more has to do with home values, and that has to do a lot with the schools. The schools tend to be better in Kansas, so people flock to Kansas once they have kids off the record.
Really?
Yeah, that's what keeps a lot of the Kansas prices up. And plus, Kansas has Homestead, which also helps property values if you have to declare bankruptcy. You can maintain up to $1 million of your estate. Whereas in Missouri, if you have any equity over $17,000, you have to sell.
$17,000? Who made that number? What idiot legislator?
Somebody a long time ago.
It's horrible on the Missouri side if you have to declare it, but Kansas has a lot of protections for your house.
So if you live on the Kansas side, you can have more kids and be less financially responsible and you be protected?
Yeah, you nailed it.
I'm just kidding, Kansas. I'm just kidding. I mean, everybody knows, like, one of the places I would live if I did not live in North Carolina is Garden City, Kansas, which is nowhere near y'all, but that's, like, my favorite place in Kansas. I'd live there. John Fort's neighbor.
I'm from Dodge City, which is 50 miles from Garden City. I know Garden City well.
There you go, girl. See, I'm going to go hang out at Randy's business there where he's training people in ammonia coolant systems. Do you know Randy?
I don't know Randy, but I know the facility you're talking about.
Let me find his last name because the community college tried to compete with him and the community college had to give up because Randy does it better. Ain't that something? Let's see.
I'm actually headed out there this evening.
So you could stop at John Fort's house and then you could stop by and look at Randy's ammonia coolant. Well, he'll educate people in 1 week and then go get a job. Let's see. I seriously told him I'm sending my son out there, but my son is determined to go to college. And I said, you could change your mind about that anytime and go to Randy and get a job coming out after 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Williams, Garden City Ammonia Program. And he collects Coca-Cola things. If you didn't know, there's Randy. That was like the best week of my life, was hanging out at the ammonia program and going to John Fort's house. But that's totally off the subject here. Let's go back up to the state line over to Kansas City, Missouri. And tell me about y'all. How did each of you get into real estate? How long have you been in? Give me a little bit of your personal background.
Yeah, I've been in real estate starting in 2021. Prior to that.
Oh, you're a COVID realtor. Oh,
I am a COVID realtor. Prior to that, I had been an audio technician engineer for 10 years, which is just a long-winded way of saying a roadie. And COVID happened and that whole industry got shut down. So decided to make a shift into real estate.
Do you love it so far?
Oh, I love it.
So when is your 2-year anniversary? Are you coming up on it or have you passed it?
Oh, I passed it. I'm working on my 3rd-year anniversary right now.
Because, you know, 85% of realtors quit within the first 2 years. So now you're top 15%, Matt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if anybody gets into real estate, I tell them just get past the first 2 years, because those first 2 years were tough for me as well. But honestly, I'm having the best year right now.
Obviously, working with John is just a gift from above, right?
Exactly. Well said.
I figured that out from here. All right. So, Stephanie, you go next. What's your 10-year and your story with real estate?
I just had my 8-year anniversary. Thank you. It was a tough start for me as well. I was transitioning, going through a divorce, moved from Western Kansas, Dodge City, because I grew up coming up to the Royals games with my grandparents, and I love Kansas City, and I fell in love with it even more once after I got here. I'm very into the arts. I love to, you know, go to the museums, go to the symphony, go to the ballet. Like Matthew, I'm a big music person, so the opportunities to go to big concerts and things like that. I love the city. So, I got into it, and real estate was a great way to learn the city, like, real quick. It was a crash course in how do I get from Gardner to Liberty. Prior to that, for 7 years, I worked for the Community Foundation of Southwest Kansas, and then I dip my toe in financial services for a bit, decided I didn't want to be tied to a desk. So this gave me flexibility. I love to travel. So this, I can say, hey, Matthew, John, I'm going out of town. And
I feel like that's the only reason we're a team, really.
It's true now. It's been said on film, on camera. So you have proof now. If she ever denies it again, here it is. But I mean, if you're going to start a new chapter in your life, why not start every page over, right?
I did. I definitely did. And I love it here.
All right, John, being the mafia boss over there, tell us a little bit about you.
So I've been in real estate now for 10 years, going on 10 years, always with Better Homes and Gardens. Before that, I was in custom clothing, and I did that in Minneapolis and Des Moines. And that's how I ended up in Kansas City, moved to Kansas City about 15 years ago. I absolutely love it. Love real estate. I love all the moving parts of real estate. I mean, I work as a general contractor sometimes. I work as a therapist, financial advisor, not licensed. Licensed real estate.
But wait a minute. Are you a licensed contractor, though? Or are you an almost general contractor?
No, just help connect people, clients with different people to do the jobs.
Oh, I was going to say, like, if you actually were a general contractor, you're balancing out what Stephanie needs. So we then have what Matthew's bringing to the table.
The engineer standpoint.
It's true.
Technology. Yeah.
That's the young person's job. So now you've just told me your age. Okay, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Our game has really upped since we became a team, at least for me.
So you bought the grass wall? Is that what I'm gathering here?
No, this is corporate provided. This is the media room at our corporate office.
Oh, if Matthew was in charge, it would have some neon on it, wouldn't it? It would be a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Let's just get that cleared up right there. Okay. So Christian, I know you're watching this episode. Take the grass wall up a notch. All right. So you guys created a team with 2 years, 8 years, and almost 10 years. How did the three of you come to tie yourselves together? And tell me the pros and cons of that.
So back in 2020, John was the realtor on my partner Rachel and I's house, and she also used John on her first home. And it was right before the pandemic. We closed January 31st, 2020. So when I was thinking about getting my real estate license, I was like, oh, I should call John Kilby up. And from there, I got my real estate license and he and I formed a team called the Kilby Anderson Group. And from there, about a year later, Stephanie came on and it's been awesome ever since.
So, John, why did you take on a brand new licensee at one of the wildest times we've ever seen in real estate? Because by 2021, we'd gone from 2019 was already doing pretty good. 2020 had a hiccup and then it went true. And then 21 was on fire. What in the world caused you to take on a new person at that time?
Anyone crazy enough to get in real estate at that time was going to work out.
You're like, oh, come on.
And actually, in 2020, I had a phenomenal year. It was a very unique year for me. So I think I sold 50 homes that year, which is a lot different than what our office average is. So that worked out well. But yeah, I mean, definitely Matthew has been working hard ever since he started and is really coming into his own. And Stephanie and I, we had a ninja group. About eight of us that left or worked together, had meetings for years. And so we did that for quite a while. And then she was looking for a change. And you can speak to that a little bit if you want.
Yeah, there were things I didn't know, like that John had more knowledge of that I felt like I could benefit, like bringing him into situations where I was less comfortable. And I already spoke to the situation with the social media with Matthew on board. So I just feel like we all bring something to the table, like where one is weak, the other is strong, and it's just a good fit.
So how do you feel this has impacted your ability to bring the customer service in your real estate market to a different level? Because as we know, one of the complaints that's made about real estate agents all the time is the lack of professionalism, the low bar, the mediocrity. But the three of you are leaning into each other's strengths in a way to change the experience for the consumer. How would you say the consumer reacts to the three of y'all as a unit as opposed to when they're interviewing a solo agent that they might know from church or the school or the restaurant where they met them before?
Even though we're a team, we still do operate very much individually. However, the knowledge that each of us brings to the table does help to enhance the customer experience. For example, now Matthew does our social media, which he's great at doing. I'm finally friends with our Instagram page. So that's going well. And then, you know, Stephanie is great with design and helping the feng shui and furniture and all the staging.
Yes.
She's great with that. And for me, all that's been very helpful because I look at the nuts and the bolts of a listing to make sure everything's good when it goes on the market in terms of mechanically, what are buyers going to look at, not like or like. So all those three things together helps to make a great customer experience.
Plus, it's nice having another type A person on the team now because John's a, I would like to say, organized chaos, if you will.
Is there any chaos, though, or is it all organized?
It's organized now.
That was like the best passive-aggressive comment ever. Oh, it's organized now. And John says nothing to that, which proves it to be true. Okay, so when you look at the formation of the three of y'all as a Hearts and Homes, and you've decided to tie yourselves together, what was the hardest thing to get through, to learn through as you agreed to work together? Because I find that a lot of agents, when their business has grown, like you described, John, your business gets so big, your bandwidth just taps out and you want to do a great job. And so you just burn yourself to a crisp trying to take care of your clients. So you bring somebody else on. What was the hardest learning curve moment, whether it was you, Matthew, and Stephanie, that you would say, it was hard, but it's been worth it?
Yeah, actually deciding on the logo and the name was one of the hardest parts of all of that because we really went through the ringer on because we wanted it to be something that could be national at some point if need be. And also we wanted it to be modern and recognizable. And to be honest, I kind of became a graphic designer to get our logo done, learning Adobe Illustrator in 7-day free trial period.
I mean, Adobe Illustrator is not easy to use. So high five to you for being willing, because I would just go online and hire somebody myself. But
we tried the Fiverr route and not good.
No, Indeed is way better because it costs more, but Fiverr's a hot mess. So when you think about what you learned in the process of landing on the name and the logo, what lessons have y'all been able to convey through your marketing to the consumer that differentiates you in a crowded marketplace?
That's a big question.
a great question. I just got a compliment. One of the members of my mastermind group that I Zoom with on Monday afternoons complimented me yesterday. I haven't even told Matt. She said she's loving our content and she knows before she even clicks to watch the reel that it's us.
Good job, Matthew. Another high five.
Yeah, that's all branding.
Yeah, you know. That's all branding.
It's branding.
Yeah.
So how do you take that and work that into your listing appointment and into your buyer consultation? Because obviously that's a differentiator. If your colleagues noticed it in Mastermind, there must be something that would resonate with the consumer.
And that's something that we're working on because, I mean, our branding and logo really was in the last 2 months that the name we finally landed on, I guess, the graphics that we wanted. So it's an infancy.
Yes, that's right. But I know, like, well, John hasn't had a social media at all.
Obviously, he just liked the team page this week.
Yes, right. So, but he's had clients or like potential clients that wouldn't use him because he didn't have a social media presence.
Really? Did they tell you that?
It's kind of a roundabout deal. My clients are great about giving out referrals, but unfortunately, in this day and age, word of mouth only goes so far. If they can't find a video of you or, you know, especially a video, if they can't find a video, they don't know who you are. So it's time to change all that.
So how do you get over that hump? And we'll just say you're now the senior guy in the group because of your tenure in the business. How do you get over that fear of making a video? Because obviously you're dressed for the part. What are you afraid of when this is your camera?
I guess how I get over it is he set up the appointment to do this. That was on my calendar.
All right. So then, John, if we do stick you in front of a camera, which you're in front of one right now, what's the one thing you would want the consumer in the greater Kansas City market to know about real estate today in 2023 that they don't know because they've been staring at the mainstream media or at apps?
I would say there's still opportunities out there. I mean, I find opportunities for my clients where they've been beat up and can't get homes. I do find the houses that where they stand a chance and that they can actually get a house under contract and build their future.
What do you say to that buyer? And I think we've all experienced them in the last 3 years. They wrote 15 offers. They kept getting beaten out. They've watched interest rates go up. They've watched prices continue to go up. They're just exhausted by the process. But somewhere inside them, they're thinking, I still don't want to rent forever, but holy crap. How do I do this? How have you encouraged them to make that next step when you find that house that might represent a chance for them?
Number one, I stay optimistic. And, you know, I was talking to some buyers a month ago and they had been looking for houses, but their experience was negative. You're not going to get this house. You're not going to get this house.
And that's what their agent was saying to them.
Yeah, that's what their agent was saying to them. So be optimistic. And what I was able to do is analyze different price levels and where there was some softness still within their budget. And sure enough, we found three homes no one had made an offer on, right kind of at the edge of where they needed to be. So those houses were a little bit overpriced because people were pushing the market and they were able to get a house under contract.
I'm still sitting here having a hard time processing an agent saying to somebody, we'll write it up, but you ain't going to get it. What are you doing?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it were harder to believe, but here we are.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great takeaway for anybody watching this. If you're a consumer, you better find an agent who believes they can get you through the process. And if you're an agent, you should believe it too, because starting off with the end in mind should include the end being a successful transaction that gets somebody to their next step of their goals, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
Right. 100%.
Yep.
Holy smokes. All right. So let's turn the video camera to you, Stephanie. So you get to tell the consumer in the greater Kansas City market something about real estate in 2023 they won't get from an app or from the mainstream media. What's the one thing they're going to get from Stephanie right now? And you can't take John's answer because he went first since he was the video chicken.
Right.
But being the video chicken, he got a win for the day.
Yeah. I mean, to his point, just staying positive is a great message. And one thing I've learned from John is to be persistent. Like, you've got to really do your homework and peruse through that MLS. Look at things that have been on the market. Find out why. I mean, to me, the thing that is lacking with a lot of agents is they don't want to pick up the phone. and pick up the phone and ask the important questions about what's their opinion of why the property hasn't sold, or is there something substantial like the roof is old or the HVAC is shot or things like that. But pick up the phone and get the facts and find out why some of these properties are not moving. And those are where some opportunities lie.
I mean, you could say that again for the people in the back. Pick up the freaking phone. Yeah. I am constantly amazed that what you're saying here sounds so common sense. Yet to many of my listeners, they'll be like, I can do that. We all forget, and we forget our best practices, and our best help in real estate is often the colleague on the other end of the phone who probably is so glad to have you call. Like, thank God you called about that listing. That listing is wearing my nerves out. And you've probably heard people say that to you. Help, show it, please help me out here, because there's a disconnect. And so how are you able to follow up with that other agent in a way that's positive and impactful in the marketplace? Do you go preview the house? How do you support them after you talk to them about their aged listing?
Yeah, take my client out to see the house. But if there's something not glaringly wrong that's really going to cost my client a lot of money, either now or down the road, go check it out. And then call them back again. Say, how can we work together to make this happen?
So I got tickled. In the MLS, you know, some of the best parts are the ones the public can't see in the agent remarks section. I love agent remarks.
Me too.
I pulled up a house yesterday and it said the house fell through, no structural issues. And I was thinking, you might want to say the offer fell through instead of the house fell through. If you read it too fast, I was like, the house fell through, structural issues. Woo, alarm bells. And then I slowed my roll and read it again. And I called her and I said, hey, girl, you might want to say the offer fell through, because house fell through plus structural looks real, real bad. And she's like, I didn't even think about that. But it goes to exactly what you're saying. It's building out those conversations to help the buyer get in the house and help the seller get it gone, because the media has lied to us a lot to say there's no inventory, because there is inventory. It just might need to have a little curiosity attached to it and an agent who's willing to be positive and say, we don't know. Let's check it out. If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. All right, Matthew. So I'm going to change your hot seat question, because you were sitting there formulating your answer while they were talking, because I can see your head working. So I want you to tell our listeners and the viewers who are out there, which are a mix of regular people and also real estate pros, what do you think is lacking in social media content when it comes to real estate? What gaps are we not filling right now?
More personalized videos of the realtors, because I'll be the first to admit it, I'm not good on getting myself on camera, but I think that is what kind of sets you apart and lets the public know your face and your name. And that's kind of what I think is missing on there.
Okay, so what's the next video you're going to make, Mr. Social Media? I know you're sitting there working out a script right now because you're planning for the two of them to get on video. So what is Matthew going to get on video about?
What I've been thinking is I have a social media calendar that we all share, and us go around town and special like Brookside area in Missouri and kind of tell people what's special about these areas and the average home price, businesses, working B2B businesses. And yeah, that's my next video.
That's your next video. Okay. So if you do that, then you can no longer fuss at them if they're not doing it and you're not doing it either. So
what else? I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, so you have been in the business the least amount of time, which means that when you came into this, you had expectations in your head for what real estate was going to look like because you saw John doing real estate, and now you've had the chance to see other people do real estate. So here's your chance to say one thing that you think has created a business for John that encouraged Rachel to call him back again when she could have called any other agent in town, but she made a return phone call to John. What do you think differentiates him from the competitors that are out there?
His knowledge.
What kind of knowledge?
Of the real estate market, and also just even seeing potential material defects in a home. He has an eye for that. I learned everything from him.
So. He has an eye for defects. I love this as a marketing strategy.
Yeah, so one of the ways I've been able to grow my business is that I work a lot with just the average person buying their first house to people moving up, but also a lot of investors. And a lot of the investors are out of town. And no matter what price point they're buying at, whether it was a $40,000 house or a $400,000 duplex, I always go in and look at every property myself. Make sure I look out for the defects, look past all the glitz and glam. So that's a lot of how I've built my business, is just getting to know, you know, what to look out for.
And he goes above and beyond. He probably wouldn't tell this story, but somebody was complaining about their foundation leaking. Is that correct? And you went over with a ladder and cleaned out their gutters and it took care of the problem.
Probably don't want to advertise that a whole lot. Thank you. Hey, but you probably don't wear that fancy jacket when you're cleaning out gutters. Yeah, we have the gutter cleaning outfit. Is a different look altogether?
Never mind. That never happened. That was hypothetical.
We don't know nothing about nothing. Okay, so somebody tell me what separates Stephanie from the rest of the marketplace and what has created her reputation. She can't say it, so y'all have to.
I think, you know, a couple of things. Number one, we talked a little bit about staging. She used to, years ago when she was getting started, help agents stage. So when she goes into a listing, you know, that's definitely one service that she provides personally rather than hiring it out to somebody else. So that, and then kind of like she said, really embracing Kansas City and getting to know Kansas City. So one of the markets that she does a lot in is the condo market, which can be a very tricky market, not only knowing the areas, but the intricacies of the building. So it's just really embracing that part of the market that a lot of agents are scared of, especially right now with all the changes that have happened just in the last few years since what happened in Florida.
Yeah, financing in the condo world is turning into quite the sticky wicket, along with the HOAs that don't want to know nothing about nothing when it comes to their buildings. So, Stephanie, how have you approached that hurdle with your buyers to help them understand the changing complexities of the market? And how much do you share about that?
I probably overshare. I explain why these changes have occurred, and that this is going to be an obstacle that we're going to have to work through. And then hopefully there's not a lender involved. That's the best case. Right? But when there is a lender involved, you just have to get on it right away and get that lender connected with that property manager and that HOA president, and just be consistently checking, is this paperwork been completed? And so we can get through underwriting.
I mean, it's such an important space to think about. And I'm going to just wager a guess that many of your competitors in the market either haven't paid attention to it, or they are going to encounter it at the last possible minute. So maybe, just maybe, this goes on your social media calendar as a Stephanie to talk about. What does Kansas City have in relationship to Miami? People would click on that and you can be like, because Miami's buildings went kaput and we're working real hard in Kansas City not to see that happen, but ask me why. I mean, you could totally educate people on this. And I love how niched in that knowledge is. That is so smart and so helpful to the consumer. Love it. All right. So now y'all got to say something nice about Matthew, and you can't use the word social media. So what have you spotted about Matthew's skills that elevate him in the competitive marketplace?
I would say determination. He does not give up on his clients in terms of, you know, even if they're basically looking for a needle in the haystack and they have a certain budget, Matt will work with them to the end. And actually just got one of those people under contract.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So when he just got started in the business until now, he's never given up and he's always been positive. And that's...
Oh, John.
That should be your picture on your Instagram shot there.
That's right. That should be mine.
I mean, it's kind of Julie Andrews from Sound of Music, but you can play that one. All right. So obviously my show, we like to talk about a lot of things, but I love to know what stories you have to tell and what you've seen in real estate that made you say, I still can't believe this happened to me or to my clients or in proximity to me. So who's got a story you want to tell?
So Rachel's house, we short-term rental it. And one of the biggest hurdles was getting the permit for it.
Kansas City requires permits for short-term rentals?
No. Mm-hmm.
Is there a limited number? Is there a lottery?
No, there's a limited number.
Limited number. It depends on what side you're on, KCK or the Missouri side. Actually, Missouri side's now harder. But
yeah. So which side are we on? We're KCK or KC Missouri?
We're in Kansas.
Is this like taxi cab medallion? So you have to pay for the permit. There's a limited number. You got to get in line.
Yeah. So you have to get 55% of the neighbor's approval. You have to get a home inspection. And just like you were buying a house, but your neighbors get to approve it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
A lot more difficult than last year.
Yep. We got the permit and the neighbor's biggest complaint was there was an Airbnb down the street and there was a huge party. They just said no parties. I said, of course, we don't want parties. We'll make it explicit in our Airbnb listing and all that. And here's my card. If you ever see anybody having a party, give me a call. Well, about 2 months in, I get a call from a neighbor around 7:30 while I'm eating. When she was, Zoe was 18. Now she was probably about a year old. My daughter was a year old at that time. My neighbor says, I see four kids standing on your roof. They're bringing in amps and guitars and all this stuff. And I was like, I'll be over there in 10, 15 minutes. So here I am at 8 o'clock with a one-year-old baby in tow, breaking up a graduation party at the Airbnb property.
They were on the roof, like for real, like standing on the roof.
Yeah. My neighbor sent me pictures so I could send that to Airbnb.
All right. So first of all, why did we take the daughter with us? Was your wife not available?
She was out with some girlfriends having dinner.
So did you get out of the car with baby on your hip and say, you young people.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Swear to you. Swear to you. It was just like that.
And what was their response? Would they say, we're so sorry. We apologize. We'll never do it again. Did they behave real quick?
Well, they said, oh, we didn't see anything about no parties. And funny enough, it was the mom that booked it for the kids. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
So I'm not even mad at the kids.
They were being raised poorly. That's terrible parenting. We'll blame the parents.
Yes.
So did they hightail it out of there or did they have a nice quiet sit down dinner instead?
No, they left. We said, if you guys want to go party, there's a park up the street. Actually, nix that. Go somewhere else.
Go to the KC Mo. Go to the other side of Kansas City. Okay, so I'm still flabbergasted by Kansas City having that strict of requirements on short-term rentals. What was their rationale for that? Were they trying to protect the hotel businesses or are they looking for tax money? What's their purpose?
I would say both those, but the hotels were screaming loud.
But so were neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, especially on the Missouri side. I remember South Hyde Park was up in arms about them.
Yeah.
Airbnbs or short-term rentals.
A lot of parties in South Hyde Park were happening. So that was Midtown area was kind of the ones that spoke up loudest and first. And the commission listened to them and they acted on it.
Well, I mean, the reality is if our municipalities would enforce their own nuisance laws, you wouldn't have a problem with your short-term rentals, but they don't want to enforce the nuisance laws. And so you blame property owners who are trying to solve a shortage in the market, because if there wasn't a shortage, then there wouldn't be a problem here. But there's a shortage, and so you need it to offset the hotels. I hate to see an assault on property rights, and I can't stand it when Airbnbs are getting blamed for the problems in the country.
Yeah.
All right. So as we wrap up our show here today, what else do you want the world to know before we wrap up? You can either provide a piece of advice to the consumer public about real estate. You can provide advice to your fellow real estate professionals, or you can just share life advice for 18-year-olds.
I think you guys could disagree, but we've said throughout this podcast, stay positive and pick up your phone.
It's also good for 18-year-olds, by the way. If you have one, that person should call their mother right now. Don't text your mother, call her. Okay, Stephanie, what's your piece? I know what I would say if I were you. You should be telling people, don't be afraid to reboot your own life because you might find out it's delightful.
That, what you said.
You look pretty happy.
Yeah, after going through his last, what? Oh, when did COVID start? How many years ago?
March 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's been interesting over the last few years is the news has always said, now's not a good time to buy. We've got COVID. We have inflation. We have this. We have that. We have all these things. But the people who've been buying all along, they're getting what they want. They're happy with where they are. So don't let the media dictate what you do with your life.
No. Yeah.
That's just good life advice in general. And let's make sure we're clipping that out. John, say that one more time.
Don't let the media dictate what you do with your life.
Exactly. Just call your local realtor. We'll dictate what you should do with your life. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show and for giving us three different insights and showing us what cohesion really looks like when people decide to work well together in real estate. I'm really grateful for what you're bringing to Kansas City and for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, if anybody wants to reach the crowd, how do they reach y'all? What is the actual Instagram account they should be following, Matthew?
You look it up.
Be like John and go like the page, but be unlike John and like it right now.
It's Heart and Home KC _ after Heart and Home KC.
So it's Heart and Home _ KC or Heart and Home KC?
Heart_and_home_KC_.
It's in the show notes for this episode. None of you people wrote that down. You couldn't type it fast enough. Go to the show notes and click and follow. And then they'll be glad to help you in KCK or KC Mo and bring you any insights about starting their team. So thank you all so much again. Say something nice about our friends here in the comments and make sure you follow some more videos, hit the bell, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly, any social network where you hang out, I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.